All right, Bob Kessler, thanks very much. It is Friday. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch this Friday afternoon, 12:10. Steve Bertrand here. Thanks very much for listening. And I hope you'll follow me on Twitter. We're at Steve Bertrand, or Facebook, because on my Facebook page right now, at Steve Bertrand, is an article that was in Blue Sky Innovation, an article that Andrea Haynes is here. She's the editor, and I can't stop talking about it. And it's been in print, or it's up online yesterday, right?
Right, up online yesterday, and coming in print this weekend.
Okay, so the idea and what's behind this, and I want you, when you listen, look at the article if you want, comment on Facebook, but I want you to actually take stock here of what we're talking about. And the story is about black business owners who conceal the fact that they are African-American business owners. So they run a business, and they're not out front. Like, they try to almost keep their identity secret, and they do that to build up a clientele. When I read that, I'm thinking, wow, where are we, or when are we? But then the more I think of it, the more I can understand kind of what's going on about it. Tell me about the story.
Yeah, it does give you a feeling of, wow, this is 2016, and it's the era of personal branding when you're supposed to, as you just mentioned, your own Facebook page. In theory, you should have your face on your business. You should be its best ambassador. It's a little bit almost crushing to read stories of these, you know, entrepreneurs who are building a business and feel the need to do the opposite.
And why do they feel the need?
So there's two reasons, really, that they identify. One is that there could be outright racism of somebody who just simply says, I don't want to support a black business. I don't want anything to do with it. The other side of it is a little more subtle, and that is that if the marketing materials or things like that show images of black customers, that people may feel like it's just a product that's targeted specifically to black people versus, you know, if you see white people in an advertisement, perhaps you're supposed to think this product is for everybody. If you specifically see black people in the advertisement, your brain tells you maybe this is only targeted.
How funny,
to black
because
people.
I'm sure that, so I'm sure black
them.
People who see only white people in an advertisement don't think, oh, this must be for everybody.
Totally.
Right?
You know, we're rolling our eyes, which our listeners cannot see, but it's a little, yeah.
And so... You know, I'm a little naive when it comes to some of these things. I mean, I know there are, you know, there are racists out there. There are, you know, bigots out there and all of that. And then there's this sort of softer side of it with impressions that we have or assumptions that we make or things that we don't would be aghast if we were confronted with our own thoughts sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I live up in an area where a lot of my friends are Jewish. We go to a health club every morning, and I'm talking to them about this story, and I'm trying to take race out of it to explain what it might be. And I don't know if you can do it by the Jewish experience, because there's anti-Semitism too, but, you know, it might be like there's a caterer. Let's make him a French caterer. It's like, well, I'm not going to go to the French caterer because he does all the French business. What would he know about, you know, my bat mitzvah or my baptism? He's got the French gig. And that's kind of what we're talking about here too, right? Where they might say, oh, this is the patio installer for the well-to-do black people, not necessarily for me.
Exactly. So the business owners, of course, don't want to be pigeonholed in that way. It does not in their benefit to build the broadest possible customer base. So they're using a variety of images. And really, they were very frank in the story about some of the tactics they used. They were not mushy on this topic. They were very much like, here is what we have to do, and here is how we do it. So I think just the bluntness with which they spoke was
One of the owners that is quoted here is a guy named James Parker, who runs and owns Best Date Night, which is a company you and I have talked about, right? You can go online, it's a subscription, and you get discounts on really cool dates. He kept the fact that he's a black guy secret for a while because he didn't want, I'm assuming, white people to think that, oh, this is a black dating site.
Exactly.
And so there is a time when they do reveal themselves, thank God. But, I mean, how do they do that, and when do they decide?
Yeah, some in the story, you know, one in the story was kind of edging out there. He had closed his original business, moved to a new city, moved to Naperville, started a new business, and he sounds like he's getting more confident and comfortable with having it out there. Others, Best Date Night, which you mentioned, are still very conscious of not wanting to sort of, you know, narrow their scope that way.
Okay, so who's the bad guy here?
I think the bad guy is us, Steve.
Do
it
you?
Really is.
Yeah.
I do. I think, you know, and looking at this, got picked up on Facebook pages for, you know, black business groups, and the people that are commenting there are just like, this is totally true. Like, there's not even debating it. It's just like, it clearly is people's experience. So that means we're all causing that experience to happen.
Yeah, okay. I'm happy with guilt. I'm used to it. But I don't think I would ever walk by a shop because it was owned by a black person, right? So I'm wondering would I ever... But so then I think the best date night thing is the perfect example. So if you got a African American owner right out front, yeah, maybe the assumption is yeah, it's a site for African American owners.
Yeah.
Do they see any changes coming? Or is there any hope among them?
You know, there was a little debate about whether this was good or bad. I don't know that anyone expressed a feeling of like in 5 minutes this won't be necessary anymore. I think it seems like the individual businesses kind of go on that journey as their own. You know, they all feel like we'll get to a certain point with our business and then we'll worry about that.
But also I think it's true that they're not speaking for everyone. I mean, there are a lot of African-American business owners who are right out front and have a very good experience. But there is this culture or this subculture that's out there.
Yeah, and particularly these maybe small businesses that are coming to people's homes and things like that. They're maybe encountering, you know, a certain customer where they're getting that kind of reaction.
Ah, boy, it really got me thinking, which is what good reporting does. And Cheryl Jackson wrote this story, and so good for her. I want you to go to my Facebook page. I want you to read it, and I hope we'll open up a discussion on it. We don't have a lot more time. We talked about some companies that had gone to China for competition. And they just a couple of them came back with some money, right?
We did. So Chicago did well in that competition. Your favorite smart oven,
which
you were asking about.
I can't say favorite because we had the other one on too. We had June.
Yeah, so they came back with some money and the developer.
Chovola?
Yes, yes.
You were afraid to say the name.
I kind of am. And some of these companies change their names over time, so you know you have to make sure you have the current one. But yeah, so they came home with some money. They make a smart oven that will cook sort of food for you. And Net Energy, which is developing a thermal battery, also won some attention over there. So Chicago boded well in that contest.
I think it's so funny that you got someone who's developing a brand new form of battery and then another guy who can cook your chicken better. And they both go to China and they come back with some seed money. Now, it's not altogether clear, right? Because they might have to maintain a presence in China to benefit from all of this.
Yeah, it's a first time contest and collaboration. So they seem to be kind of be working out the details on exactly how the winnings will play out.
And we've got a big funding show coming into town next week, I think, right? I don't remember the name of it, but a group of funders are in town for a show on Thursday. And I should have never brought it up because I don't have it in front of me. But we'll talk about that next week.
Cool.
Andrea,
have a great weekend.
All right, from Blue Sky Innovation, you have a great weekend, too. Enjoy it. It's going to be
too.
Nice. You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Let's 1222, you're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Weekend right around the corner. Tom Gimbel is in the studio, the CEO of the LaSalle Network. He comes by most Fridays anyway. Tom, welcome back.
Good to see you.
Okay, so let me just ask, you and I were talking again about the article that is in Blue Sky Innovation. She said it might be get some good play in the Sunday edition of the Tribune, too. But what did you make of that conversation?
I mean, it's an interesting conversation because it's not about possible patrons not working with or customers not working with. It's about companies not wanting to advertise what they are.
To make that appearance. Right.
Right.
The idea that people wouldn't show or wouldn't.
Yeah, I think that exists. I think it exists from the standpoint of, like you were saying, that people want to cater to, that I'm an expert, right? I know food because I'm a Jew, and the black guy knows whatever the stereotype is.
Yeah.
If it works for us, we want to do it for the money.
You capitalize on it.
So the question is, if you can capitalize on not advertising what you are,
right,
is that good or bad?
So imagine you're a Lithuanian who just dies for pizza and makes the perfect pizza.
Yep.
Right? You don't want people to know you're Lithuanian. Who's going to go into the Lithuanian guy's pizza shop?
I guess you add Mangini to the back of your Lithuanian name, and that works.
Well, you know, I'm laughing, and I've done a lot of giggling at uncomfortable stories this week, but I just think it really had me thinking.
On the reverse side of it, wasn't it, you know, 20 years ago in broadcasting, no one had an ethnic last name. You would always change your name.
Right.
So it's probably not that different. You're not a big business, but but broadcasters and actors. Well, Michael Douglas's real name is something you couldn't pronounce.
That's a good point.
It's like Coach Krzyzewski, yeah. Right? I mean, it people change their names as actors all the time, and that was okay.
And so let's say you're going, we're going to talk about the stress of finding a job, which is related a little bit,
yeah.
Right? I mean, so you go, a lot of people say, what's most stressful about finding a job? And it's the interview. Well, to me, it would be the fear, the failure of the interview. But for a lot of people, it's just the interview.
Well, I think, you know, going off of the first conversation, I think you have a lot of that with age discrimination. So you get a lot of people that'll shorten their resume and then to get an interview, and then they go in, right? And they make you and I look like eighth graders, and
right.
You're sitting across the table thinking you're interviewing somebody who's 35.
So they'll put less on their resumes.
They won't have a year on their college grad when they graduated college,
right.
And they'll stop their resume in 1995.
So that to get in the door.
To get in the
door.
The
idea that if you get in the door.
And now you've got to overcome that. And the question that's always been argued in corporate America is that a lie or is that not a lie?
How funny. And what's the answer?
It's kind of like the other conversation,
yeah, because
right?
Who's telling the story? To me, it's a justified lie. If you can't get in the door because of the day you were born, speaking as a guy who's getting to be that,
right.
or is that
Well,
age?
The flip side of it, though, is this. As I said to somebody who was in their mid to late 50s recently, I said, the problem also, though, is if you were a serial job hopper for the first 15 years of your career and you don't list that, maybe you wouldn't have gotten the job because of that.
We've talked about that. We did, in fact, earlier this week about the benefits of the older, more stable workforce than the younger job hopping. And, of course, then the answer is the older, more stable is more expensive.
I was doing a project with Glassdoor, the online employer review thing, and I gave a speech the other day. And what I said to him was, I gave a speech, it was in Chicago, a couple hundred people. And I said, think about millennials. They get bashed more than any generation, right? I said, how would you behave if every other group told you you were lazy, entitled, and terrible?
Right.
We're creating our own situation.
We're putting the chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't want to work with old people either if I were millennial.
Okay, so you go to the job interview. You're nervous about it. One of the things you say is research yourself.
Yep.
So know what they're going to know about you.
You can't fail knowing you. You need to know when you started at a company, when you ended at a company, how much you made, who you reported to, what projects you did. You should never fail knowing you.
The other thing that strikes me about that is that there's the you that you know, and then there's the you that's knowable to them. Do I sound like Donald Rumsfeld? Right? But assuming that they're going to research you, you have to know what's accessible to them and what view they might be getting from what their research.
Yeah, you should have either if it's a spouse or a child or a parent, look at your, do, you know, 10 minutes of social media research.
Right.
Look at you on LinkedIn. Look at you on Facebook. Look at your Instagram. Maybe you block those during the interview process to public users. Right?
Right, sure.
Do some logical things to make sure.
Another thing you say is to do as many interviews as possible.
Absolutely.
Which gets a little hinky, doesn't it, if you're starting to take up other people's time?
It depends. Well, two things. Number one, the interviews you go on that you may not think are interesting to you may end up being the perfect
job. Right?
It's no different than dating, right? If you're in college and you're graduating, interview with everybody that comes on campus because they're doing the same thing to you. If you get into our age bracket, right, apply to jobs. If you get the interview, go on it. If you're open, you know, you can't turn down a job you've never been offered.
Right.
I tell this people all the time. They go, well, I don't think I want to do that. I go, well, good thing they weren't offering you the job yet.
Tom Gimbel is the CEO of the LaSalle Network. One other tip we didn't have time to talk about is to dress in something that makes you feel good, and you certainly look snazzy today. I like that jacket quite a bit.
Don't follow the Joe Madden philosophy.
What's that?
If you think you look hot, wear it.
Right.
Don't do that with interviews.
Let's talk to Joe about those stocking caps. This is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you, Bob Kessler. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on a beautiful, beautiful Friday afternoon in the city of Chicago. This is why people live in Chicago, not in places like Kansas City or Milwaukee or Brooklyn, New York, or things. Oh, wait a minute. Scott Kleinberg's in the studio. Writes about social media for the Chicago Tribune. Scott, how are you?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Good. And Scott announced earlier this week that he will, you know, I really want to talk one segment. I don't know if you'd be comfortable with it, about your new job. But Scott announced that he's going to be in charge of social media for the city of New York.
For the mayor's office.
Yep. Because, you know, those guys are always getting in trouble, and they're always tweeting the wrong things, really.
No, it happens.
And,
it's true.
And it'd be interesting to sort of, but I don't want you to, I mean, you haven't done it yet either, so I don't want
yeah.
to
I mean, in general, though, you know, I feel like everything I've done here has prepared me for this moment.
I'd feel really bad if I ruined your life. But I bring that up because obviously, you know, you're hoping to help people and you'll be working for the mayor and all this stuff.
Yep.
On my Facebook page, there was a post the other day. Steve, I've been a listener for years. Yesterday, I happened to hear you speaking with a tech guy. That would be you. During the business lunch, he was describing to you how there can be messages on Facebook that are hidden.
Yep.
I remembered how to find them, so I tried last night. Amazingly, in the lost messages was one from 3 years ago from my older half-brother, whom I've never met, trying to contact me. We spoke last night. Just wanted to share how your segment affected my life in a good way.
Wow.
So good that for you, is, Scott Kleinberg.
That's the greatest thing I've heard today. That's awesome.
And I would have never known about him if I hadn't checked those messages.
Wow.
So that's a nice
so
little story.
I'm so glad to hear that. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. Tell people one more time real quickly how to do that.
If you're the best way to do it, I think, is if you have an iPhone, it's easier that way. But you go into the Facebook Messenger app. You click on the gear icon for settings. There is a button. Mark people, you go under there, and then you look for message request, and then you look for filtered request. And it's much more intuitive once you get
once
there
you
and click on
people. Going down the road of it, right?
Because once you click on people, there's very few options, so it's pretty clear. And yeah, most of what you're going to find in there, as we say, it's not all, but most of what you're going to find in there is probably junk mail. It's very much like a junk mail spam filter, but just like things get through junk mail spam filters, like that wonderful story, you know, you might find something important in there.
It was a wonderful story, Portia. Thanks for sharing that on my Facebook page. I appreciate
you.
It. Let's talk Snapchat because, you know, it's what all the kids are doing these days, right? It's even passed up Instagram.
It's the most popular network among teens right now. And the reason why this particular thing, I read this and I was just like, wow, that's really amazing. Because I remember when this study was commissioned last year, you know, it was like, it's like in the spring and then in the fall, and Snapchat was fourth place, and then Snapchat was third place, and now Snapchat's first place. So it just goes to show, and Instagram is still popular, but Snapchat has taken the lead for teens over Instagram.
Okay, so Snapchat is, as I know, that's the one where you look at the little, you can post a story or share something and it will go away after a short period of time.
Yes.
Now, they've added video, right? They've tried to expand with video. Has that been the difference maker?
I don't know, because Snapchat has had video for quite a while. Instagram is adding video, and Instagram is really, really pushing video, but it seems as though people really like their snaps. The thing is, snaps are supposed to be a mixture of photo and video, and you're supposed to be able to go back and forth. Instagram people feel like they have to do one or the other. Not true, but they feel that way. So I don't know that the video has changed Snapchat, but I think it's definitely fueling it.
And so Instagram is desperately trying to catch up, and they keep toying around with their video possibilities.
Yeah, they have. They went from just last week or the week before, they went from 15-second maximum videos to 60 seconds because people said 15 was too short. So now they go to 60, and now they are trying to come up with this channel. They have a page called Explore, which they show you things that are happening around the network that you might not know about that you might find interesting.
Is that like the Twitter... What's the Twitter?
Twitter Moments.
Twitter Moments,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep, very
which
similar
I love,
to that.
By the way. You know, you told me about that. I didn't know about Twitter Moments, and I check that a lot.
It's nice because it's curated by a team that knows what's actually going on. And this is the same type of thing with Instagram. It's people who actually know what's being posted, and now they're going to have a video tab. They never had one before for video. Now they're going to have video that you might find to be most interesting. The thought process is always, you know, you don't know about this account. Maybe this is one you want to follow in the future.
Okay, so there was Bill and Wendy talked about this yesterday, AMC, the movie theater chain.
Yeah. I love this story.
They talked about allowing texting, right, or cell phone use inside the theater.
Yes.
And to me, it's like it already happens, doesn't it?
It already happens, but obviously
it's discouraged and frowned upon.
It's discouraged, and it makes a lot of people mad.
You get a lot of shushing.
You get a lot of that, yes. Usually it's the bright light on the phone that makes people mad, not so much the noise.
It is totally about the light.
Yeah.
And it's not even that the light is bothersome. It's just that you know someone's doing it.
Yes. And when you see that thing on the screen, the little candy telling you to stop making noise and stuff, you're supposed to listen to the candy.
Quit it.
Yes.
So AMC said, okay, we're going to allow people to do it. And why did they say that?
Well, they said it because millennials, young people, 20, 21, 22, they really, really want to be using their phones, because you can't say to someone, put your phone away. They're used to using their phones all their lives. So that makes them not want to go to movies at all.
AMC wants them to go to movies.
Yes. So they're saying, okay, maybe we devote a theater. Or they were saying, maybe we devote a theater. And we say, you know, in this theater, you can text
right.
if you have friends or if you don't or whatever the case may be.
And it didn't take long for AMC to say,
it took
no.
2 days for the CEO to say, we heard you loud and clear. This is clearly not what you want. And I know when he's talking about not what you want, he's not talking about the people he was trying to reach. He's talking about the people who are like, I don't care where you do it. I don't want to see phones in a theater. Because obviously, if you say it's limited to one theater, someone's going to do it more
sure,
in another theater.
Sure.
You can't police that.
Well, maybe they should just say to movies after 9 o'clock.
I guess
because that's when the millennials are going to be going, you know, by then anyway.
I guess they could do that, but for the price that you pay for a movie today to sit there and text the entire time, I don't get it.
It is funny, though, because we are going to be, I think maybe we're already there where, you know, you can't be without your phone. That's just, it has become, you know, and I think back 20 years ago, the future is saying that, and you're like,
yep.
Right.
Yep.
But it is now, it's a part of our physiology almost.
It is, but the thing that I find fascinating about that, as someone who always has to be on call for work because of the nature of my job, I don't go to movies often, but on the rare occasion when I do, it's the one time I look forward to putting my phone away, turning off the sound, and not worrying about anything happening for 3 hours. And I know I could miss big news, it's just, that's my time.
And so I think a lot of parents with younger kids have a hard time when they go to movies or go out to dinner or whatever because, they're always waiting. Of course, they're waiting for the notification of disaster.
Right.
And more often than not, the babysitter can't find the macaroni and cheese.
Right.
You know, but
right.
I think that's why they don't let go of phones.
Yep.
But AMC remains a phone-free zone at least for a while longer.
At least for now, yes.
Unless you don't get caught. Scott Kleinberg,
exactly.
Great to see you again. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Steve.
I'll see you next week.
Sounds great.
This is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Good. 12:51 here on the Wintrust Business Lunch, 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. I hope you'll follow me on Twitter at Steve Bertrand or on Facebook and continue the conversation at Steve Bertrand on Facebook about that story in Blue Sky Innovation that I posted earlier today. All right, so how is your Wi-Fi service around the house? Are you always resetting your router? Nick Weaver is one of the co-founders of Eero. He's a Chicago boy, and he's got a plan to fix that. In fact, he's got a product out that he says will do just that. He joins us now on a phone line. Nick, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Are you back in Chicago now, or are you in California? Where are you?
I'm sitting in our office in San Francisco.
Okay. Tell the story, because as I read this, that you were going to school at Stanford and your parents were always calling you for computer help.
Yeah. So growing up, I've been the guy that everyone's asked to fix the internet. And you know, we've all had those problems where you've got a buffering screen or a dropped Wi-Fi connection or you can't send that last-minute email late at night. So growing up, I was always the person who had to go fix that for my friends and my family and basically anyone who had my phone number.
And you figured out a way to fix it from California for your parents who were living here?
Yeah, my original, we'll call it prototype system, was I had everything plugged into a red surge protector. So everyone knew the big red button to go hit in the closet. And then to go make things a little bit easier, I plugged it all into a wall timer, those big round rotary wall timers.
Sure.
And it shut down the network every night at 2 in the morning, and it brought it back up at 2:05. That was my remote reset trick from California that stopped getting tech support calls.
And from there, somehow, we ended up with Eero. Tell me about Eero.
Yeah. So, yeah, what Eero is it's a really simple, easy-to-use whole home Wi-Fi system, and the key there is it's built to cover your entire home, and it's a system. So what people are doing today is they're still trying to cover their homes with, you know, that one big ugly black router in the corner of the living room.
It's under my wife's desk right now, Nick. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so when we start streaming more video and using the internet in every corner of the house, What you end up needing to have is multiple devices broadcasting the internet. And so that's why we've designed this system. So you can buy a pack of three Eero's. You plug one into your cable or DSL modem, your internet connection, and then you plug the other ones in around your house. And the end result is you get great Wi-Fi coverage in every corner. So you can send email from the kitchen, you can stream Netflix from bed, you can even work outside in your backyard.
Does this add, now, you know, you're talking to someone who might be like your parents, a little ignorant here, but does this add bandwidth speed? I mean, can you do more with the internet, or does this just clean up some of the dead spots?
Yeah, it's all about getting more coverage throughout your home. So it's getting what you're paying for in every corner. So we're not going to make the incoming connection speed into your home faster, but what we will do is make sure you get that speed in every corner of your house.
What's the difference between this and just a regular booster that you might buy?
So with those boosters, what ends up happening is lots of times they decrease the total speed by half because they only have one radio. The other frustrating part with them is they create multiple Wi-Fi network names, so you're constantly having to switch back and forth between multiple network names in your home. So with Eero, you get one network name that works everywhere. So you connect to your home once, and it'll allow you to connect everywhere.
I know that this is a growing sort of area, right? Are you feeling competition? Do you think that this is going to be a place where you're going to have to fight to stay alive?
Well, a lot of the hard stuff with our system is it's all the like tight integration of not just the hardware that we designed ourselves, the software, the cloud services that pulls it all together, and our mobile app. So what's really challenging here is building all of those different pieces, and we have a team that's totally focused on fixing this problem and making sure your Wi-Fi works perfectly in every corner of your house.
Tell me about why it's significant that, because I read this, I'm not sure I understand, that this can be completely controlled or is controlled by an app and not something on your desktop.
So with existing products, you typically have to go to some really complicated IP address, like if you've ever typed in 192.168.1.1.
I was doing it this week. Well, I spent an hour on the phone this week.
So our key premise is if you can download an app on your iPhone or Android device, you should be able to set up our system in just a couple minutes. So it's all about making it really simple and really easy. And having it all operated from your phone makes that process totally seamless.
And Mother's Day is just around the corner, but then if you buy it for your mom for Mother's Day, that's another reason you'll never talk to her on the phone, right?
Well, or the phone calls you have will be about catching up on life and not doing remote tech support.
Very well played there, Nick Weaver. Nice to talk to you today.
Great speaking with you, too. Thanks for
having me. You know what, real quick, how do people find more information about this, Nick?
Yeah, everything's available at Eero.com. You can also buy the device on Amazon.
Eero.com is two E's, E-E-R-O.com. Great. Have a great weekend, Nick.
You too. Thanks so much.
Nick Weaver. You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN.